Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello all.
Oh, that was much more formal sounding.
Hello.
All right, Devin, we're going to both do a quote tonight. Why don't you start us off?
I see young men, my townsmen, whose misfortune it is to have inherited farms and houses, barns, cattle, farming tools, for these are more easily acquired than gotten rid of. Better had they been born in the open pasture and suckled by a wolf, that they might have seen with clearer eyes what field they were called to labor in. Why should they begin digging their graves as soon as they are born?
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Your turn.
Mine goes, I borrowed an axe and went down to the woods by Walden Pond, nearest to where I intended to build my house, and began to cut down some tall, arrowy white pines, still in their youth, for timber. It is difficult to begin without borrowing, but perhaps it is the most generous course thus to permit your fellow men to have an interest in your enterprise. The owner of the axe, as he released his hold on it, said that it was the apple of his eye, but I returned it sharper than I received it. Go. A couple quotes, and you could tell by mine that was a quote from Walden, which is the book that we're reading for the EDC book club, book number 2. I actually just started today, or at least started reading again. I started it years ago, and probably made it somewhere halfway through or so, and for one reason or another put it down, but I was happy to start it back up. But there's, you know, if you're looking for a quote, just in on about kind of anything about life and people's pursuit of happiness in life and what that entails, you can probably look in the first like 22 or 3 pages of Walden to find one or 20 or 100.
Yeah, that's the chunk I'm trying to get past.
Yeah.
Because it's nice, but it's not. It's just him, you know,
pontificating, I guess.
Pontificating.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just kind of going on and on about, like, the world around him and about, like, you know, what it is for people to be living and, like, mm-hmm. you know, what it means, what is, like, the purpose of life, kind of. You know, he's like, is it to like have a house and have land, or is it just to be happy, or is it like if you work all the time and make lots of money and you have a great house, then, you know, what's that worth? You know, you just have more responsibilities and more, you know. So he's kind of like he's expounding on the benefits of living a more simple life.
And this is in the early 1800s, right?
Yeah. And what I just read, his quote says, was 1845. yeah, near the end of March 1845. That, so this is yeah, written after he did that. He spent 2 years, 2 months, and 2 days, I think that's what he said.
At yeah. Wooden Pond. I like, yeah. Well, I thought that my quote was interesting, or his quote that I read, because it's the romanticized thing now, which everyone wants. Like, oh, you're stuck because you inherited something.
Right, yeah.
Like, you inherited land and machines to work the land and all this. It's not like the romantic version of it today where it's like, oh, wouldn't that be amazing? Just some farm and some tractors and some tools, and I just go off and, like, homestead. Back then, a normal farmer's life was not... And a lot of people did it, so it was more normal, but it was also more like, yeah, you're stuck here.
Yeah.
This land you're on, you can't get rid of it, basically. You know, it's in your family, and you will you will be born here and buried here.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and just chained to the earth there. You know, with the responsibilities and you know, still the you know the crops and how often you have to do stuff, and then who you have to pay for what, and you know, you have all this property, all this land, all this wealth, but you're still beholden to it and everyone else that it takes to run it and use it and toil it and.
Yeah, you're a poor farmer.
I had the same thought when I was reading through that part where he's talking about, like, you know, people who that, because he talked for a couple pages about people who have been, like, given, you know, or like they have farms that are bequeathed to them or in their family that they, you know, were like just raised on. And, you know, like you said, that sounds like something that we're like in this day and age, that's a more ideal thing, you know, like, ooh, this idyllic thought of, you know, having like family, you know, wealth that's passed down to you and you have this like land and that's what we all want and hope for now. But, you know, back then it was like, that's what everyone had. And that's what everyone was just locked into.
Yeah, like when I think of having some family land, it's to kind of be leisurely in it, spend happy fun days in it, not day in, day out, you know, working it.
Right, right.
Yeah. But, yeah, because recently I've been, I don't know if I brought it up on the podcast, but probably at work a lot, we've been, like, talking about... sharing stories of each other's like grandparents and stuff who had gotten rid of land, sold off land and stuff.
Yep.
Did I talk about it on here?
No, I don't think so.
Obviously, well, for us, obviously, not for the listeners necessarily. We had a family farm, like 36 acres, really beautiful, and a farmhouse that I guess our great grandparents helped build, like.
Yeah, or even, I think it might have been their grandparents. So it was great, you know, it was like,
this beautiful piece of land and a beautiful home on it. And it was just sold off by our grandparents. And then, same thing with my wife, not a farm, but a like a shore house here in Maryland, where they would crab off their own dock. Like, you know, just a beautiful piece of land. All gone now.
it's probably
a boomer thing, you know.
Yeah,
like, hey, we got stuff and we're just gonna, you know, we're gonna sell it off at the end of our life, like we're gonna get whatever money we need to retire or whatever we need to do, and then, like, I don't really blame them for it because you gotta do what you gotta do, but it is like at the end, what are you left with? You're in a, you know, our poor grandfather's in a home right now with all his goods, everything he owns can be fit in a van instead of having something to pass on. Now, I mean, they had a fun life and a nice life down in Florida and RVing all over the country, but that it ends for the family.
Right. Yeah. I wonder if it's just the, inflation, you know, like it just costs more to live now. And so, you know, in the last 15, 20 years, people who had generational wealth have to sell it off so they can actually survive. Maybe, you know, because I mean, even like, even when they sold it, which was what, like 25 years ago, something like that.
Like 30 years, yeah.
Yeah. 30 years ago. You know, that was at the beginning of the real, like, the boom, property, you know, boom, like the costs of property was going up, I think, so much then, you know, compared to like when our grandparents bought houses back in whatever the 40s mm-hmm. and 50s and 60s, they were like, you know, $20,000, $30,000, things like that, you know, and they were able to like buy them and pay them off in a couple years. And then they had their house scot free. And then, you know,
on one
like,
person's salary.
Right. Exactly. And it's just like,
so inflation, they didn't, maybe yeah. part of it is they didn't know, you know, they right. just say, look, we got some land.
Yeah,
as they can do it, it's not that expensive. But now, right, now, yeah. now, land and homes are just the most valuable things
mm-hmm.
out there.
Yeah, and we're being taxed so much more heavily than they were. You know, so it's like, you know, taxes were like what 15% or something 50 years ago, and now they're almost 50% of our income.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. So, it's yeah. just crazy. I mean, if they would. If we could have held on to that farm, I mean, it would have been over $1 million now.
Oh, yeah.
Probably absolutely. A couple million. And it was sold for...
It was like 300,000 or something.
300. Like yeah, something ridiculous. You can't even buy a rancher now for that.
I know. That's crazy.
You can't buy a rancher now, but you could buy a ranch 30 yeah. years ago.
Right. Yeah, just... Wow. It's crazy, you know. But like you said, you know, 150 years ago, whatever, 175 years ago, when Thoreau is writing this book, you know, that's what he doesn't want. He's like, I don't want to be chained to the land. I don't want to be chained to generational wealth. You know, that's just, it's just another prison. You know, like you think you have this freedom. It's, and even then at the time, that's what people wanted. You know, he was,
I think, you know, I think he was not generational. I don't think it was wealth. It was like a poor man's thing. Like farming is for poor people.
Right, right.
You know, so I think that was the main thing. You're not going to make much. You're going to live in a little run-down farmhouse.
Right.
And just work your butt off all your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, you know?
Yeah, he does, like, relate to, you know, manual labor work is what the majority of the people around him are doing. You know, it's like most of the people are doing mm-hmm. like manual jobs mm-hmm. with farming or, you know, whatever. It was an interesting perspective on what is important. And I think that's kind of like, obviously he's a transcendentalist, right? So he's thinking about all that type of stuff about nature and what's important and living off the land and living more, you know, like just kind of the spirituality of the land. And, so, you know, for him, it's obviously what's most important is that like connection to nature. Ooh. And that's what you're not getting when you're like toiling against it, you're fighting against it just to survive, when you can just be like, have a little house. So he talks about the Penobscot, I think he says, or Indians, you know, have mm-hmm. like wigwams, which are just built out of, you know, just sticks and bark, and they're, you know, warm and tight and dry, and they take a couple hours to build and a couple hours to take down. And each family has one, or they have their own place in one, and you know, and it's just as good, you know.
Well, he would be nowadays he'd be like either a tiny houser or like a van life hipster.
Yeah, right.
I'll build my wigwam. Get out there, man. I'm going to stay on my land for 2 years. He'd be vlogging. We'd all be rolling our eyes at him.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy won't shut up.
He'd have lots of followers on Instagram. And
yeah, YouTube. You're like, it's easy to talk like that when you're 20 with no family. Like,
yeah, oh, right, exactly.
Must be nice. It's real easy. It
must be nice.
And you got some artist friend to let you stay on their land.
Walden. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, fine. Yeah, it must be, you know, it's easy when someone just lets you stay at their lake for as long as you want.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And sit away and write for 2 years as your job. Well, I'll say this. I got the worst copy of this book I think must have ever been printed.
You have the physical one now?
Yeah, that's what I get for finding the cheapest physical copy on Amazon. It was $3.
Right,
but it's like, it's the size of a full-size book, but each page has about 3,000 words on it.
Oh, man.
And there's like, it's...
Super tiny.
and it's like top to bottom, like barely anything. So I'm not going to be reading it. It looks like a pamphlet. It's so thin. So I don't know. I might just buy a new one because, you know, I at least want to put it up on the bookshelf at the end, you know, above in my office here to have like, oh, here's all the book club books.
Yeah, look for the one from Dover, the Dover Thrift Edition. That's the one that I have. It has a really nice illustration on the front.
I mean, this is so thin, it doesn't even have the name of the book on the spine.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. It must be one of those things where the book is so old, no one has rights to it, so anyone prints any versions they want.
Right, right, yeah. And
this version is shit, hey.
Yeah, well, mine originally, when it was printed, whenever this printing was from, let's see, this was printed in 95? This Dover edition, first published in 95. Yeah, 1995. This one was $2.50 in 95, so brand new. So it can't be that much now. I forget where I got this. I may have gotten it from, you know, like a used bookstore or something. I forget where I found it, but.
Yeah, I mean, I got the one on Kindle for free. There's some, I guess, paperback for, you know, $10. I might just do one of those.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So my quote, is right at kind of when the monotony breaks a little bit after the halfway for the first chapter. So the first chapter in my edition is about 53 pages. And then the chapters after it are all like 15 pages or less.
Yeah.
Approximately, but that first chapter is like, it's basically just, it's titled Economy. So it's basically like getting you into the book and about like the economy and life around him and stuff. So he's talking, which is, you know, it starts to get a little monotonous and a little bit, I don't know. It's just him expounding on what he's thinking. But then halfway through that, you get into him building his house. And so that quote, which I'd heard before and I'd seen before, you know, I borrowed an axe and went down to the woods by Walden Pond, you know. So he's just like borrows an axe from a guy and then goes down and starts building his house on this property that he was given permission to build on. But I like the line where he says, where is it? Well, there's a couple things, right? It's difficult to begin without borrowing, but perhaps it's the most generous course thus to permit your fellow man to have an interest in your enterprise. So like by borrowing something from someone else, they become interested in what you're doing. You're like, oh, that's kind of cool. What are you doing? You know? And this guy was like, so the owner of the axe, as he released his hold on it, said that it was the apple of his eye, but I returned it sharper than I received it. You know, he's like, this is my axe. Like, this is my favorite axe. I'm going to let you borrow it. But I like that. I like that it was like talking about, you know, borrowing something is giving someone else a chance to be invested in what you're doing, which I thought was cool. 'Cause I've definitely, you know, become better friends with people and met people and, you know, like built on relationships by borrowing things, you know, and that's, I guess that's the, like the old, like, quip of, you know, borrowing a cup of sugar from your neighbor, you know, it's like, oh, what are you making? Yeah. It's the conversation start, but yeah, be like, oh, I need this thing. Do you have this tool by any chance? Oh yeah, I do. Let me borrow, you know, and then you're like, then you start talking about what's going on and, oh, do you need a hand? I can help you. You know, I can come over and give you a hand. Like, what do you do? Power washing your whatever, or, you know, you're fixing something, or like, I think that's kind of interesting that people become invested in other people when they're doing something, when they're making something and they want to like see what's going on, you know? So that's kind of cool.
Especially if some young guy's trying to talk about making a cabin.
Yeah, right, yeah. But also, I think he was 30.
Also, you're like, you don't have any tools? Can I borrow cabin-making tools? Like, I mean, yeah, you can borrow my axe. You're going to need an axe. Yeah, probably could need an axe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can imagine this guy.
Yeah, like, what? All right, well, yeah, here, take... I guess I got one good axe. You can take it, but just...
just be careful with it, you know. Yeah, yeah. It's like this guy who doesn't know tools, you know. It's like you're just assuming it's gonna come back dull and chipped and broken handle. Yeah. I do like that too. They said I returned it sharper than I received it.
There you go. At least he had something to sharpen it with. He built the sharpener, just not the axe.
And he also talks about, like, he kind of takes his time. He wasn't, like, in a hurry to build it, you know, because it was, yeah. I guess it was, he said it was the close to the beginning of March, he says. No, near the end of March, right? So he did say that it was, like, cold out, and there was still some ice on the pond, and occasionally there'd be flurries for him working, but he was just, like, outside, just in a stand of pines, cutting stuff down, then hewing his timbers, and he kind of built it like a stick frame house, you know, and then had everything pieced together, and then had a like a house, you know, barn raising, house raising with some friends and some neighbors or whatever, help him put it up. But yeah, I just thought that was like a fun part. And when I hit that sentence, which is the very beginning of the chapter, or the very beginning of the section called Building the House, it was like, it was like this slight reprieve away from the first however many 20 pages or so, however long that is in the book that you're reading. But you know, it's just that, like, not that no, you know, it definitely is, it's hard to read when someone is just like continuously just talking and you know, like metaphors about life and about like what's important and how do you go about doing that. And he's talking about how these things are holding people back and how, like, you know, so it's just this continuous like run on thought, his like ideas of the world. Right. And it just goes on for pages and pages and pages. And I gotta say, honestly, I gotta be honest that I was sitting outside today and reading this for the first, you know, 20 whatever pages, and sitting outside, and it was a nice evening here in Maryland, and probably it was warm today, but it was cooling down. So sitting outside in shorts and a t-shirt, and dogs were outside with me, and I was just kind of hanging out and just reading, and definitely falling asleep while I was reading, like trying to like stay focused and stay into the book. I was also keeping an eye on the dogs a little bit so they weren't running off, but you know, just getting through it. It's, you know, it's not, it wasn't the easiest thing to get through, but it wasn't that it's like super dense. It's just a little bit repetitive, but you know, it's not too many pages, but it does kind of get you into his mindset, which I think it's important that we understand where he's coming from as a person who had a different idea of the way life should be led and life should be lived at that point in time. And you know, what he's talking about is all these other people who are in the daily grind. He was the oddball out, right? He was the person who was like, this isn't, you know, he was trying to push outside of that thought process. So, you know, I think it's important to get through that first part of that book where it's really getting in, you start to learn his mind, you start to learn what type of person he is, and you start to really understand why he decided to leave. Or, you know, to take some time away and like just see what he could do and live without much and just live off the land. And yeah. So I think, although I was saying Devin stepped away from it, but I was saying how I was sitting outside today reading, this first 20 pages of the book or so. And, probably for about an hour and a half or so before we started the podcast. But I was definitely falling asleep, struggling to get through those first bunch of pages. And, you know, it's not that it's not interesting. It's just a little dense and it's just a little repetitive. But it does really, like, put you into his thought process. You know, it's like, this is what he's thinking. This is what he thinks about the world around him. And yeah, it leads you into why he does what he does. So,
you know, I think when we started this book club, we discussed not doing heavy books, like they were going to be easy, fun, like,
right.
And then we jumped right in. We went from Sasquatch to like the opposite, dense, very dense book. So, but luckily it's small, so we can clear through it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, mine's only what, 200 and like just over 200 pages. So,
yeah, maybe we can just clear through this one in a month or two and just, yeah, move on. But it's definitely interesting. It'll keep your mind going. We'll do like a fun one next month.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. I mean, it's like I just think books that are interesting, and you know, whether it's an older book like this, like Walden, which just because of when it was written, it's going to be a little bit harder to read. But I mean, I don't think it's you know, it's still just like something that's interesting and something that's goes along with what, you know, we kind of do for art of craftsmanship, you know, with making things and, you know, trying to do stuff.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Our own, you know, a nod back to older traditions. So I think it's the right category. It's just a little bit dense, but yeah, I see what you're saying. At least in the, you know, in the beginning, but
it's
we'll
in
see.
The vein of it. But anyway, yeah. So join us if you want. Maybe, you know, I think I'm going to speed read through the beginning a little bit, just get a feel. Like I tried to absorb the first chunk, but it's just dense. So,
yeah, I will say, just getting through it,
the cabin building.
Yeah, getting through it and reading it, it's like, you know, he has each part is like 6 or 7 pages long. Like the first part's about like economy, and then there's a thing about clothing, and then there's a thing about shelter, and you know, so he's talking about his ideas of people, like how people are doing things around him, and But I will say that each section is not like the idea doesn't change a ton. So if you like skim each section, you're not like going to miss something. Right. So if you read the first like 2 paragraphs of the section, it's going to be pretty similar to the entire rest of that section before he moves on to his next thought.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So I'm not going to miss like a raccoon attack. It buried it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. And there's some, like I said, it's all like, it's all good quotes and stuff. You know, it's all pretty like interesting thoughts, but it's, but yeah, they're just, he just kind of goes on it and it's very like poetic about it and metaphorical. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but yeah. Yeah, I was excited to get to that. I borrowed an axe. I was like, yes. All right.
Axe stuff. Yeah. Speaking of old timey thing or old traditional things, kind of. Someone came up to our house tonight, knocked on the door.
Weird.
It was like 8 o'clock. And we're out in the country a little bit. I mean, there's houses around us. It's a neighborhood ish, but it's, you know, from the front of my house, you can see maybe three houses.
Right.
It was a young girl, not young, but she probably like college age.
Right.
Trying to sell like educational books or something. Like, what? What are you doing? And she had like an iPad. She was like, and I have, you know, these are some of your neighbors around here. Like, she was like smiling with their kids or something. I was like, no. She's like, can I come in and show you stuff? I'm like, no, I'm sorry, no thanks. Like, just,
that's crazy.
I was like, what are you doing? Like, what if you come to the wrong house nowadays? And someone, and you just want to go in someone's house at 8 o'clock at night? You don't know me.
That's so weird.
Out here in the middle of, you know, like, if something happens to you in one of these houses around here, no one's going to know. Probably no one will see you go in.
Yeah, why would you choose that area? You know, there are plenty of like neighborhoods, you know, like tighter neighborhoods that are like, you know, each piece of property is like a, you know, quarter acre max, you know, and you're just a one, two, that, like, they're all, like, everyone's a street, and everyone has a garage and a house, and you can park your car at one end and hit 20 houses. You know, like, we did, I did that with Corinne when she was selling Girl Scout cookies, which I will say is also really weird, just to, like, walk up and knock door to door. But we, you know, we went to areas that we knew were, like, family-friendly areas and stuff. But, yeah, it's a weird thing to, like, knock on someone's door these days. Because well,
if she was selling Girl Scout cookies, I would have bought them. But I'm not buying some type of... I don't know, educational stuff. What are you doing? Just go online like the rest of your friends and try to have, like, sell stuff to your friends like all the other girls do. Like, we're going to have a educational book party. Who wants to come? It's, you know, Zoom or whatever. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing walking door to door out here? Like, go home. You're going to just go in random people's houses? Like, you don't want to do that.
That's weird. Yeah, that's weird.
I was very surprised.
Like, especially what she was selling. Like, no one buys materials from people individually. You know, like,
not anymore.
No, and you go to a bookstore, or you buy them online, or you get a digital copy. And if you're going to school, then you get it like for free. You know, like,
I really didn't understand.
You may just and, like, she, yeah, you might surprised. If you let her in, she might have murdered you. She might be the other way around.
A little college girl. She could have whipped out a gun.
I know, right? Yeah, can I come in and show you some stuff? You're like, I'm all right. No, she's like, you sure? Okay. Maybe next time.
Yeah. Case in the joint or something? I don't know. There's nothing in here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. If you're looking for something to steal, you buy, you know, a computer and maybe a TV or two.
I'll point you to some richer neighborhoods if you want, but this ain't.
Yeah, right. Honey. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not the right place. That's funny. Yeah, where we are, I've had a couple times people have come to our door, but it's usually like Mormons or what's it like, the
Latter-day
Saints or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, they're like, hey, can we talk to him? I'm like, thanks, but I'm all right. You know, I already believe. Yeah. Thanks. See you later. Yeah, that's also not the best answer, because then they're like, oh, they really want to talk to you about religion. I'm like, no, it's okay.
Right. Which one of what do you believe? Let us know.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm all right.
Say, yeah, no, thanks. No, I'm good. Thanks. Have a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a... It's a crazy thing, very, you know, that, strange. Like... Yeah, it's just not the day and age anymore, at least not around here. I mean, depending on where you are in the world, maybe it is in other places, but...
No.
Not in the States.
Door to door anymore.
No.
Get out of here.
Crazy.
Go be safe. Like, what do you... You're not the type of person who should do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
Weird enough for guys to do it. Young girls, like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, like, if it's, you know, if you're going to sell stuff door to door, do it with somebody, you know, it's like, do it two people, a guy and a girl, right? Because then you're not like, because the girl is less, like, frightening, but like a guy and a girl together, it's like, okay, well, this is, you know, people who are, like, you have both, like, you can kind of approach people. If a guy answers the door, then he sees a guy, and if it's, like, a woman, then she sees a woman and a guy, you know, it's like, there's a comfort level there, you know, and, like, and then there's safety in numbers, like... I don't know. If you're going to sell something door to door, it's got to be like something people need at their house. You know, I don't
know.
It's got
to be cookies from a little kid. That's about
it. Exactly. Yeah. Cookies.
Yeah. So, you know, that's that. We got some things going, and we shot another video, the sewing video. We shot that.
Yeah.
Knocked that out real quick. Got your industrial sewing machine up and running. That was sweet.
Yeah, man, that thing is crazy. That last so if people saw on Instagram, we posted the real quick video of me sewing through three layers of leather. So that was probably at least a half inch of leather. And that up until that point, I hadn't sewn that much on that machine while we were shooting the whole video. Everything was just like thin leather. You know, I was going through a single piece of like was like 7/8 ounce or something, or 6/7 ounce. So it's probably maybe 3/16 of an inch, right? So just slightly over 1/8 of an inch. So it's thick leather, but it's you know, not like 1/2 inch. So it was yeah, I was pretty impressed in that reaction. That like, whoa, that was a straight up true reaction. I wasn't putting anything on that one. But yeah, it was fun, and I'm really happy that we got it set up because I really want to make stuff, and it makes it super easy to make stuff with leather, or at least like to its extent, which is it's a beast of a machine that sews straight lines in through really thick leather. Right. So I do need to figure out the user manual. I don't have that because it doesn't really have a company name or a brand name on it other than Neil's Saddlery, which is the company that they're just a sewing machine reseller. So I don't know, but I got to call them. But yeah, no, that was cool. I'm excited to have it up and running. And it was relatively easy to set up, although just like a few little things on like the tension and whatnot, trying to get that. It was weird because when we set up the machine, I just put a spool of thread up on top of the machine where a normal spool would go, where it would pull from.
Yeah.
But it did seem like in the end that was the issue, was that the way it was pulling the thread, the spool was too tight on the top of the machine or something. So it was just messing up the tension. So as soon as we put the kind of feeder up on top and it was able to pull the thread without any tension from the spool, then it started sailing through. So It was cool. But yeah, that was fun. And I just finished making a whole bunch of wooden swords and wooden daggers, which will all be going with me to the Makers Festival, which is downtown in Baltimore. It's a Makers Festival. It's going along with Baltimore Fashion Week, but they're doing a Makers Festival this year. So it's I think it's from, it's like 1 to 4, 12 to 4 on June 8th in Baltimore at the War Memorial Building, which is 101 North Gay Street in Baltimore. So if you're familiar with downtown Baltimore, it's right at the bottom of 83 or the JFX, right where it turns into President Street. So if you're going down 83, it slows down. There's a light right there, and that road right there where that first light is, where President Street start. If you turn right, the War Memorial Building is right there on the right. So if anybody's in Baltimore and you're around, 101 North Gay Street on Saturday, June 8th, I'll be there. My buddy Sean and I, he actually is the one who organized it, and he'll have a bunch of leather stuff because he has a cool new laser from X-Tool. So X-Tool sent him a sweet laser. He'll have it at Maker Camp this year as well, and we'll be like customizing some stuff in the leather tent with Ethan and I can't remember the other guy's name, both like the leather worker guys who work in that tent doing cool leather carving and stitching and sewing and stuff. So Sean will be there this year with them doing some laser stuff and helping to, you know, do some cool leather stuff. So one of the things that he wanted to do was to kind of get out to some more shows and show it off and do some stuff. And so, we'll be doing that. So it's going to be fun. We're going to be there. I have, like I said, I have a bunch of wooden swords and wooden daggers to sell. I'm going to do some, I'm going to have like a bunch of just forged like hooks and things just as, you know, a couple dollar things people can buy, as well as some the Viking eating thorns that I'll have, and some Viking EDC knives, some cheaper stuff. So, and maybe some more leather things too. Now that I have the sewing machine up and running, I might get those up and going, which will be fun. But yeah, again, if you're in Baltimore and that's not this upcoming, let's see, what have we got? It's three weekends, because this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. The following weekend is the first weekend of June, and then the week after that is June 8th. So, which is also, I think, Blade Show weekend. So if you guys are heading to Blade Show, that'll be fun. Yeah, Devin and I will also be joining Ryan on the Hustle and Grind. Or no, it's Hustle. Which one are we doing? I forget. Let me double check that. I think it's Hustle and Grind podcast we're doing. But we'll be joining them this Sunday, so we'll be on his podcast. So we'll check it out there. We'll put something up on Instagram. Let me see. Let me go back. May. Yeah, Hustle will be on Hustle and Grind on, we'll be recording on Sunday night, so it'll be on this weekend's podcast. So it'll be fun. Devin and I will both be joining him there. And, that's always, is it Noah and Ryan, both of them. So co-hosts of the Hustle and Grind podcast. So yeah. Lastly, if, Let me see. What was I going to say? Something about... Oh, no. No, we're still having fun doing the... shooting the antiques malls and stuff. So we went... I have one video of one from last week, which I did, or a couple weekends ago that I did, which I didn't really find anything great, but... that's kind of the name of the game when you're going to antique malls. You're like, you're looking for good deals. You're looking for interesting things that have some, you know, age to them or some interest to you. And so there was a lot of like possibilities. There was a lot of good, you know, like spots where there could be something. And there were a few things that might've been kind of nice. And there were a few things that I almost had exactly what I wanted, or almost found exactly what I wanted, or maybe the prices were too high or whatever. So I didn't really walk away with anything. So I'm going to be doing another one, probably this weekend, where I'll go to another antique mall or something like that. And so we'll probably end up combining those together, which I think will make an interesting video as well. It's like, you know, cause sometimes you just don't find stuff, right? So you might see a few minute clip of one spot and a few minute clip of another spot. And then, you know, maybe a little bit longer of a third spot, but that's what happens, right? When you're out there hunting for things, you don't always find things. So, but, that is what it is. Devin stepped away because his son is being a little cranky this evening. So I am going to do my recommendation now. We were going to do a shortish podcast this week anyway. So, but my recommendation, going back to axes, is the company Lamica Axes. If you're not familiar with Lamica, they're a relatively new company, you know, probably within like 10 years old or so. And it's a combination of three guys that came together, three kind of bladesmiths and guys who are interested in making axes and tools. So that's Marseille Lepin. He's from Latvia. He also has axes or something like that, or ML blades, which is his company, a really awesome axe maker. And then you have Lane Packwood, who is here in the States, and you know, he's the kind of axe handle side of the team, or at least, you know, part of it. And then third axe maker and also handle maker is Colby Owen, and he's up in Canada. So you get this combination of Canada, USA, and Latvia, and three dudes who just love axes and came together to make the company Lamica Axes. And they do really beautiful axes. And the reason why I actually, not the reason, but one of the reasons why I started what I thought about them as a recommendation this week is because they just put out they just put out another Instagram post about their cruiser axe. So if you're not familiar with axes, you have like double bits, you have full size double bit and full size single bit, and then you have you know, smaller single bit axes, which typically are called boys axes. And then you get down to the smallest size, which is hatchet. And in double bit axes, you have a full size axe, all sorts of different styles of full size double bit axe. But then you will come across a smaller double bit axe called a cruiser. And a cruiser axe is just a smaller double bit axe. They're, you know, not as wide, not as tall. So kind of the boys axe size of a double bit axe. And they're called cruiser axes because the timber cruisers used to use them as they were going out into the woods. These would be the guys, like the scouts, who'd go ahead of time and they'd pick trees that would be really good for felling for timber. So they'd be looking for the trees that companies could get the most board feed of. So they'd walk into the woods and they would cruise into the woods, and they took these smaller double bit axes that they could kind of work their way through the woods, chop their way through, and then also mark trees that they were suggesting that the companies cut down. So cruisers were the timber cruisers, and so the cruiser axe is a small double bit, and it's just a really beautiful design. So they just put out some more of their cruisers, the Woodsman cruiser. And then as far as size and double bits go, you have another one down called a saddle axe. So that's an even smaller, like a hatchet size double bit. So you got the full size double, the full size single bit, the boys axe, and then the hatchet. And then you have the full size double bit, the cruiser axe, and then the saddle axe. And there's lots and lots more, but those are kind of a general terms for those. But one of the cool things that Lamaca does that I always love is all of their, you know, they give masks, which is the leather sheath for an axe. Everything they do for Lamaca is all in this like bright red leather, which is great. So if you see their, if you see an axe with bright red leather mask on it, it's most likely going to be a Lamaca axe or just someone who loves bright red as well. But that's cool. All right, well, I'm not sure if we're going to get Devin back at all. So we're probably going to wrap it up here. And if he does come back while I'm wrapping up, then that's great. And if not, then we'll finish it up. But yeah, we just want to say thanks for listening and hanging out with us. Again, this is a short one this week just because of Devin. He knew that his baby boy is going to be a little bit fussy this evening, so he didn't know how much time he'd get off with us. But yeah, we're going to be we're putting up some new stuff. We should have probably another video coming up in the next week or so of another of that antiques mall hunt. We kind of are really, I'm digging the like kind of walking around and shooting stuff. And then Devin said he'll probably come down to the Maker Festival and maybe walk around and get some shots of that festival as well, get all the different things, because that's kind of cool, you know, checking out different artists, things and crafts and stuff like that. But yeah, otherwise, thank you guys for hanging out with us. You know, make sure you head over to Instagram. You can check out everything that we're doing there. It's still May, so it's still May for Makers. I'm trying to post often, but, you know, not getting around to post every day this year. Just really busy with a bunch of other stuff. So it's I'm doing as much as I can. But yeah, you can check out what we're doing for May for Makers, and you can see what we're doing behind the scenes. I do have some pictures up of the wooden swords and wooden daggers that I did. And I'll be kind of documenting some of the other stuff I'm making before Makers Festival, which again is June 8th. I think it's from 12 to 4. So if you're around then, come on by. Yeah, and you can see what we're doing. So that's on Instagram at the Art of Craftsmanship for things that I'm doing behind the scenes. And then also Devin, you can follow him as well for other behind the scenes things and what he's doing and what he's working on for the videos and whatever else at the Art of Camera Guy. And then for those of you who feel like you want to give back a little bit more and have something to give, you can always head to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and you can support us there. I think our lowest, or, you know, the smallest amount that you can support is $1 a month. So, you know, that's a pretty small amount, and it really does make a difference. So, you know, when we have people who are supporting us, it kind of goes into a, how can we make the channel and the content that we're putting out there better fund. So everything that we make through those really does go back into, directly back into the channel. Which, like we said, is how we got the little, DJI Osmo Pocket 3, which has been a super fun little camera to use. We actually shot the other day when we were shooting the video of the industrial leather sewing machine. It was kind of just a setup video, and I wanted to use it and make something, but I also wanted to set it up, and that's always like watching other people set up tools and figuring them out. So I thought that was kind of fun. So that was kind of the reason why we wanted to do that, was just like to bring you along with, like, let's set it up together. Let's figure out, you know, I don't have a directions book here to figure it out. So I'm just going to figure it out on my own. And, you know, with the knowledge that I have of machines and of sewing machines, and it worked out okay. And also Nicole came down and hung out with me for a minute and helped me figure out some stuff. So that's always fun when the wife comes down in the shop. But yeah, so, we used the DJI Osmo to do the intro to that video. So kind of holding it up in front of me and just talking and walking down into the shop. So that's kind of a fun shot. So fun to use that stuff. And that again is, from, you know, we bought that directly from the support of Patreon patrons, as well as people who bought merchandise, from our spring shop. So thank you to everyone who does support us. We really appreciate it. It does not go unnoticed, although I know we're not the best at reaching out to those patrons. If you are a patron of the Art of Craftsmanship on Patreon, then you do have access to our Discord server. And so we do kind of, we check in with that, and we'll put up pictures and chat when we're working on videos and things, and try to, you know, give a little bit more behind the scenes. But really, you know, Patreon is somebody, people who want to go above and beyond and support that way, and that's awesome. But you know, it's not like, we're happy to put this content out there as well, just for your enjoyment and hang out with you guys in the shop or whatever you're doing in your car or your ride or your commute, you know, and just give you some interesting stuff. It's fun for Devin and I to talk. All right, guys. Other than that, thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate it. And Devin, although he is not here to say goodbye, I'm sure he appreciates everybody as well. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.